Welcome, and thank you for joining us. My name is Susan Daffron, and I'm the president of Logical Expressions, Inc., which is a book and software publishing company based in Idaho. I'm also the president of the Small Publishers, Artists, and Writers Network, a.k.a. SPAWN. And today we're talking to Milton Kahn about how you can set up focused book publicity campaigns. Milton has years of publicity experience, particularly in the entertainment industry. He worked on campaigns for films such as Fried Green Tomatoes and Watership Down, in addition to working with New York Times bestselling authors such as Stanley Alpert, J.A. Jantz, and the World Almanac Book of Records. You can read more about Milton at his website, which is www.miltonkahnpr.com. And I'd like to say welcome, Milton. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I am so envious that you have worked with J.A. Jantz. Oh, my gosh. I am such a huge fan.
Yeah, she's a great person as well as a brilliant writer. So I'm very fortunate to have wonderful clients. And, of course, my primary focus right now is the publishing industry, working with authors, whether they're with major publishing houses or whether they're print-on-demand authors or self-published authors, or small press. They're all, authors that, could be very promotable. So that's, I'm very, very flexible and very much delighted to be a part of the publishing industry.
Well, it's interesting that I was just on another teleseminar that I guess book publishers are really realizing that authors, those of us who self-publish are always involved in our own publicity, but even big publishers are realizing that they're really needing to get authors more involved in the promotion process. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I wanted to ask you is, when you talk about a focused book publicity campaign, mm-hmm. it's like you've mm-hmm. emphasized the word focused here. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, it depends on the venue of the author and what the author brings to the table. For example, if it's a children's book, we would certainly be focusing on family media and also in the areas of television, radio, newspapers, magazines, wire services, and other mainstream media, which would certainly make sense. We certainly wouldn't be pitching a children's book to sports columnists, unless, by the way, it were, a children's book dealing with sports. And by the way, I must take a bow that I'm representing a book right now on a sports book biography, a brilliant biography written by an author by the name of Kyle Keetering, and it's called Heart of a Lion, and today I broke a story for him in USA Today in the sports section. So that's a pretty nice break. So I'm in a very, very good mood today.
Yeah, really. Congratulations. That's incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, that is incredible. But that's, he wrote an incredible book and is well deserving of it. But that's the kind of thing that, we dream about and try to hit major, major breaks like that. And they often produce tremendous results in terms of sales, for a book, which is what mm-hmm. a book publicist is all about.
So can we, kind of diverging here, but can we go behind mm-hmm. the scenes? How did you get it into USA Today? That's the question that's on my mind right now.
Well, I presented it to, to the sports editor of USA Today. I sent him a copy of the book and the issues letter of the author, the biography, and he assigned a writer to do the interview with my client.
So did you just mail this to him, or did you already have a relationship with him, or...?
Well, I've dealt with them before, but no, I sent it to them. Media people are looking for great articles and books. There are thousands of media people throughout the country. I certainly have not had a lunch and dinner with every one of them. But I do have enough credibility as a publicist to at least be, considered when I do submit a story idea to someone mm-hmm. And taken seriously, as opposed to somebody who, is trying to promote themselves or whatever. They usually, those kind of submissions are going to just go in the waste paper basket.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us worry about is that we're going to spend a lot mm-hmm. of money sending out books, and it's going to just be an expensive waste of time.
Well, that's the reason, people who can afford a good publicist hire a good publicist, because mm-hmm. it's just like if you were going to going to court on a big case, and you were on trial, you certainly wouldn't want to represent yourself. You would want a top attorney representing you. And if you were doing a tax return, you would certainly want a good CPA handling that. So, you know, you have to find the right people, you know, to help you to make it successful. An author can't do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, with that said, when you're, you know, those of us who are still kind of learning about
right.
publicity, finding out what exactly is involved, can you give us sort of an overview of, like, the planning that you would go through? Like, on this book, you obviously thought about, okay, sports, et cetera, and you know,
yeah.
you obviously had a plan in mind that...
Absolutely.
You don't just get into USA Today. Something happened
no.
before that.
Well, exactly. When the author hires me, in the case of Kyle, prior to launching the campaign, which just, you know, launched, last month, the beginning of February 1st. We worked. My assistant David Bench and I worked on putting together a list of all the media that we were going to be targeting during our campaign in the areas of radio, television, newspapers, magazines, etc. And updating the lists and getting their addresses and the mailing addresses, their emails, and etc. So there's a lot of research that goes into preparing for a campaign, and that's exactly what I did with Kyle, for Kyle and for every client that I've represented. You know, that's the way it works. I don't just take on a client and just sit back and wait for my phone to ring. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of not very glamorous work, like you say, getting the addresses and making sure you're writing to the right person and everything.
Yeah, well, that's why I have an assistant. But you're right. But that's part of it. That's part of what a public relations company does is have the information to work with the author at getting issues of what the book is going to be about. Again, you have to realize in most cases, Susan, the media are not going to take the book home and read it, but
exactly.
they're going to want it. They're going to want know things from a letter that is put together by the author and myself. I edit the letter. I get the ideas of where they're coming from. It's important that the author prepare himself and herself as well as himself with a really good website. Giving a lot of information about the author, a little information about the book, a cover of the book, where the book can be purchased, the Amazons, etc., and just making it as friendly and helpful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
For the media as well as the general public.
Well, you mentioned did you actually pitch the story that they ran? Are you actually? I mean,
I pitched, and they assigned a writer
mm-hmm.
to write it. I didn't write the article.
No, but you kind of gave them an idea of the slant and a story idea so
yeah.
that they didn't come up with it. You did, right?
Well, I gave them the basic information about what the book was about, of course. Yeah, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, oh, yeah. I didn't just say, yeah, hey, it's a great book, you've got to do it. That would
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
work. Yeah.
So I haven't read USA Today this morning, but what was the angle that just to give this, since we have this wonderful example from today.
Well, this is a good example. This particular story is a tragic story about a basketball player who played for Loyola Marymount, and his name was Hank Gathers, and he was an All-American, one of the greatest players in college basketball history. But he had a heart condition, and his doctors warned him that really it was not a good idea for him to play. But he insisted on playing, and unfortunately, 20 years ago, after scoring a basket, he dropped down on the floor and died moments later of a heart attack, and
mm-hmm.
ending his life tragically. So that was, that was why the book was written, and
mm-hmm.
it's a story about his life and an amazing young man.
Hmm.
But somebody that should have not, certainly not played. But his dream was to play in the NBA and make a lot of money, and he felt that he was going to, survive and be, having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost out.
Well, and that's really interesting because, what you're doing is you're giving the media, literally a story.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of telling the story that's in the book. So I can see how they would respond to that because, that's a really a great you know, a great story to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but let me tell you this, Susan. There have been a lot of great stories that, you know, that I've submitted that you know, have not made their way to USA Today, mm-hmm. or Time Magazine or People. And there have been some, you know, books that I've handled that perhaps were not that interesting, but, you know, that got in Parade Magazine and clients on Oprah. So, you know, there's no exact science to public relations. If there was, I'd be making $1 million a minute, you know.
Yeah, really.
But,
we'd all be hiring you.
Absolutely. But and then maybe I could get out of details like, you know, doing the trash and putting the dishes away from my wife and things like that. But, you know, but so far I can't get out of those details.
Oh,
and
well, yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well,
that's
obviously a good slant for, I mean, a story like that is good, mm-hmm. for a nonfiction book. I know that a lot of times fiction authors,
yeah.
have more trouble.
I like that. I like where you're coming from in this question.
Coming up with angles,
yeah.
that are going to appeal to the media. So do you have any?
Absolutely. Questions? Yes. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, you had mentioned J.A. Jantz as being one of your favorite mystery writers.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, a mystery book is not nonfiction.
Yeah.
J.A. Jantz writes in her books, in the book, the ones that I was, you know, been promoting, about serial killers. You know, mm-hmm. that's part of, you know, and so I'm sure you know. And she herself, one day, believe it or not, was driving by and picked up a hitchhiker who turned out to be a serial killer. And the serial killer actually stalked her and tried killing her, and luckily didn't. So that was an angle that, you know, we were able to get a lot of national publicity on. You know, we got her a lot of tremendous shows and interviews, et cetera. So, you know, it's going to vary. And then also, there are authors that write mystery books that, you know, don't have an angle like that in you know, to go with, but they have other things. Like, I'll give you an example. I was at a writers' conference several years ago in Columbus, Ohio. The Columbus Writers Conference, which unfortunately is no longer. It was on the Ohio State campus, but the lady who ran it decided to close it. You know, it was just too much work for her,
mm-hmm.
and so she did. And, of course, recessions have slowed down a lot of the writer conferences, et cetera. You know, the budgets, mm-hmm. aren't there. But anyway, the gentleman I met was named Mark Boughton, Bouton, and he wrote mystery books, but his background was one of the things that he had done. He was a retired FBI agent, and he was the key FBI agent who tracked down Timothy McVeigh, the Unabomber.
Yeah.
Not the Unabomber. I'm sorry, the Oklahoma City bomber.
Yeah.
I've got that. I also
bomber.
Did.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway. With that in mind, I was able to get Mark tremendous publicity, unbelievable publicity. I also represented a book on the Unabomber, so but that's another book. That was actually a biography on, you know, the Unabomber, you know, Kaczynski. But anyway, getting back to your question, so those are the kind of things that, you know, we that I try to look for. And then there are books that, you know, that I've read and been submitted to me that I found not very promotable. You know, there are books that, you know, certain books that just don't have it, you know, and if it's a book that I don't think I'm going to be able to do a good job for, that doesn't mean the book isn't good, but I'm just not the right PR guy for it. I'm not going to take someone's money and not be enthusiastic about the book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Well, that's actually a really interesting question, because,
uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure when you're evaluating a book, you're looking at how can I make this media worthy, and you know, you
Absolutely.
Hear the concept of a hook. So, if, you know, what are you looking for? You know, those of us, I think that when you're self-publishing or promoting your own book,
right.
you're really close to the problem. Do you have any suggestions on how we can create these media hooks? I mean,
do you have
a mental process that you go through?
Well, it's going to vary with each book. There's no exact way to answer that, because, you know, I mean, every author listening has a different book, you know, whether it's
mm-hmm.
a book on self-help or parenting or a children's book or a memoir. I mean, you know, so, you know, it's too intangible to, but again, you know, the idea is to find hooks to justify why a media person is going to want to interview the author. And also, I'm not going to represent an author who doesn't have a really good personality. And that may sound unfair and arrogant to me, but if the author doesn't have enthusiasm and doesn't come off well as you do in talking, and hopefully I have a certain amount of energy. The media people for radio and television, not for newspapers and magazines, are not going to be very happy with me. And the audience is going to disappear, you know, if there's somebody that, you know, I once had an author years ago, and she had written a really pretty interesting book, and I got her on a very big show, the Jim Bohannon Show, which is syndicated by Westwood One and has an audience of 5 million listeners every night, every weekday night. And every time he would ask her a question, she'd answer it, yeah, you know, uh-huh. And, you know, and he, even with that, she sold about 500 books. But Jim was not really very happy with me.
Really, worst guest ever.
You know, it's like, you know, it would be like you're fixing a friend up on a blind date with some guy who's, you know, a total moron.
Yeah.
I learned this happened maybe about 12 years ago. That taught me a lesson to be very careful in, you know, who I represent. Because, you know, I'm certainly not going to represent somebody that, you know, is very bland. And the New York Times did a survey, actually, on two authors that, you know, were very similar in education. One graduated from Harvard, one from Yale. Both had books that were very similar, big-time publishers. And the guy with the really great personality sold a lot of books, and the guy with the not-so-great personality sold a very minimal amount of books. Mm-hmm. So you really, you know, it's a big element for the success of a book is how the author comes off. And
that,
a lot of authors that,
makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah. And a lot of authors that, you know, don't have a lot of experience, and most authors don't. It's a good thing maybe to find a coach or somebody that could help them, you know, whether it be a teacher, a drama school, or just somebody who's, you know, you could even be a friend, you know, doing a video with that person and, you know, going over things so that they get a better feel and a little more confidence about you know, when the time comes for them to be interviewed.
Actually, that's really good advice that I did myself is videotape yourself, because you never, it's impossible to know what you really look like to other people until you see yourself on tape.
Oh.
It's like I wasn't one of those kids that like grew up with my parents making home movies, so I never saw myself on videotape until, well, actually relatively recently. And it's sort of a good thing to know, actually, I think. It can be a little disturbing, but, you know, it's like hearing yourself on tape the first time, you know.
Yes,
way
absolutely.
Back when, or on the radio, what your voice actually sounds like. Because what your voice sounds like in your head is not the same as it sounds to everyone else.
That's true. And you also want to be careful not to say things like, you know, and, you know, just a variety of things that people aren't aware of, or scratching your head if you're doing a television show, or, you know, you just want to be very comfortable, you know, and sound very, you know, very focused.
And
so
enthusiastic, like you said.
Oh, very definitely. Well, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, that I love what I do. I just, you know, I can't wait for every day to start. I just love being a publicist, and I've been doing it for a long time, and, you know, segue from, you know, the entertainment world and corporate world and, you know, just a variety of different venues. I've represented wineries and, you know, just you name it, sports figures. But, you know, but publishing to me is my baby. That's what I really love the most, right, and particularly now. And what's wonderful is the authors that I represent live all over the country. You know, it's not like you have to have somebody who's in the same town as you, which was the case, you know, when I represented actors and actresses, you know, we'd have to, you know, go to their parties and have lunch and all that. And that's one of the reasons my wife and I decided to move to Santa Barbara.
Get away from that.
We got pretty tired of the Hollywood scene, you know, the premieres and the screenings. It all sounds very glamorous, but, you know, it gets kind of boring after a while, to be honest with you.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that, you know, I think that passion for publishing, I think, is something that is important to, I've found that most authors who, because I, you know, I work with authors a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
Doing layout and design and things like that. And I found that the authors that are the most fun to work with are ones who actually like books. Now, you would think that most authors, you know, if you're going to bother to write a book, you would think that they would be interested in reading books and get excited about books, but that's not always the case. And I really have discovered that my best clients are those who love books as much as I do. I mean, they get into reading and they do that thing. And I think that enthusiasm really helps, that the fact that they're into it because it's a book. It's not a...
Oh, Absolutely.
You know, it's not a movie, it's not an e-book, it's not a whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that that's interesting that you found that out.
Yeah.
That too.
Well, on that subject, you know, when I've given seminars before, I've also suggested to authors, and most of them were aspiring authors,
mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, some who were published, etc., that it's important for them to really know what's going on in the publishing world, not just reading books, but being sure to subscribe to the Sunday New York Times, because their book section gives a lot of information about what's going on. And also the Bible, which, of course, is Publishers Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that people should subscribe to. Or they could just go to publishersweekly.com and, you know, get most of the information, you know, there. But they should really get an idea of what's going on. Just like if they're in the stock market, they certainly want to track what their stocks are doing. But it's important to see what's, you know, just going on in that business, why certain books are doing well, why others aren't, and, you know, just you know, be in the flow of a business that they're going to be in, that
exactly.
They should be as knowledgeable as possible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah, I've actually written a number of articles that preach that advice too. I think one of them was titled, you know, before you get into publishing, learn about publishing or something like that, because
it
is a business, and I think that people a lot of times
it's very much of a business.
Sort of forget that and think, well, I'll just be creative and I'll go write something and sit in the forest and in my little log cabin and write a book. And
but it's understand. But you have to realize too that any author, even if they're a Rhodes Scholar, they don't really know a lot about the publishing business. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not their venue. So, you know, it would be like if you have a root canal that needs to be extracted, you know, you're not going to have your husband do it or a friend. I mean, you know, you're going to go to a top dentist to do it. So, you know, you have to find the right people for, you know, for the
right
situation.
Although, with that said, if I was having a root canal, I would probably go to the internet and find out what's involved. What is this dentist going to do to me? Because I've actually never had a root canal, and it's I've never really been interested. But if I did, I would go learn a little bit about it so that I could evaluate whether or not my dentist was a quack.
Yeah. Well, if your dentist is a quack, you better do a little research on. But most people have a family doctor that, you know, or dentist that they've been going to for a while, and, you know. But you're right. If you've never had a root canal, you should definitely do a little research on.
But that's actually why I also, you know, in fact, you can make the argument. This is why, you know, we here at Spawn are doing the teleseminars, because in order to, whether you do your own publicity or you're evaluating getting a publicist.
Uh-huh.
You want to find out about what's involved.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Doing
well, that's why on my website I wrote an advice to authors column. I think you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it gives a lot of advice, a lot of details, and, you know, if someone is looking for a publicist, you know, they should certainly do research, you know, and get references on that publicist, you know, and also, you know, the way, you know, depending on, you know, where they're located and, you know, what their budgets are and all, they should also go to Google and type in book publicist and, you know, and get a list of different book publicists that might be interesting for them to explore, you know, and there's certainly no right answer. It'd be like telling somebody who they should marry, because it is sort of a marriage in a sense of finding the right, you know, the right PR person, the right doctor, the right accountant, et cetera. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, inefficient people in a lot of these areas. And I could tell you there aren't a lot of really good book publicists. And that's not, you know, to take away from their intelligence, but, you know, it's a business that's way behind the Hollywood business, where the publicists are much sharper and much more innovative and creative. Hollywood is, you know, just as far superior to the publishing industry in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as far as nice people, but certainly very sharp, intelligent people. You know, and I was, you know, very lucky to be in that business, and, you know, and have the great, you know, some of the great clients that I had over the years. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes I'd pinch myself when I was sitting having tea and crumpets with Gregory Peck years ago. You know, I figured, God, this is amazing. But actually, he was probably the only client I ever had that I was actually in awe of. I mean, there were other great stars I represented and directors and producers, but he was very, very special. Just a great, great human being, as well as a brilliant actor. So anyway, fire away.
Yes. But that's actually interesting that you know, and I think that this happens in many cases where you take the background that you had before you moved into being a publicist for publishing and are able to leverage that knowledge. I sort of, you know, my marketing background actually is marketing on the Internet, and so I've been able to leverage a lot of the knowledge that I had from marketing other products to marketing books.
Good for you.
That's, you know, it's interesting that we all have these experiences and
that's
really playing on our strengths and our backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. You bring up an interesting point, you know, and it's a question that, you know, that I think, you know, I'd like to create. And that would be, how did I get into the publishing arena, you know, from the other areas?
Yeah, good point.
All right. Yeah. Well, what happened was about 15 years ago, a literary agent who was a friend of mine, who represented a lot of top authors, had an author by the name of James Halpern who had a book called The Truth Machine, and it was published by Ballantine, which is, you know, a subsidiary of Random House. Mm-hmm. And Jim lived in Dallas, and he wasn't really very thrilled with the fact that he was getting no publicity from, you know, from Ballantine other than a book signing, you know, in Dallas, which sold three books. So he first asked me if I'd be interested in representing an author, and I said, gee, Joel, you know, I never represented an author before, but I'd be glad to give it a shot. Anyway, Jim hired me, and I started a campaign and figured out what I needed to do and who I needed to contact, and I helped him sell over 200,000 books. So a new career was born for me because I realized that the publishing industry mirrors the entertainment industry and the fact that the media are very similar. You know, they're really, it's the same pretty much. You know, you watch a Larry King show, you know, he's going to have an author, he's going to have an actor, he's going to have a businessman, you know, he's going to have all kinds of different people, you know, on his show. So it's pretty much the same targets of the shows, and to a large degree. And that goes for Oprah's and, you know, all the other shows. And obviously, every author dreams about being on Oprah. You know, that's certainly, you know,
that's
the dream.
The ultimate,
The ultimate. But it is, and it's not. You know, to be honest with you, you know, again, it depends on the venue of the book. Like if I had the sports author on Oprah, you know, it may not do as well as somebody who has a book on, you know, on their career. You know, or you know, and. Whoever, you know, whether it's Tom Cruise or whoever. So, you know, it's a different, you know, it's apples and oranges. But the key is to continue to sustain a campaign and create momentum and not sit back on your laurels. And I learned that lesson a long time ago when I had an actress named Abby Dalton, and she was in a series that, called Hennessy when I was first starting out. And I got her in, on the cover of TV Guide and the LA Times, a big calendar story, and I got her story in, remember Look magazine?
Oh, yeah.
I got her story there and Time magazine. So anyway, after, you know, representing her, I got a call from her one day, and she fired me. I said, how come? She said, well, I haven't seen my name in the paper in a couple of weeks. So that was it. So what I learned from that was that you have to continue the momentum, and you can't rest on your laurels as a publicist. Just like I can't let rest on my laurels as a husband on what I did, you know, yesterday. You know, it's a challenge every day in relationships, you know, working with people and a marriage or whatever. You know, I'm certainly not Dr. Laura. I certainly don't know all the answers to that, but I certainly do know enough to, you know, to be very kind and treat everyone with respect, whether it's my wife or anyone that I deal with. I think everybody really, you know, has good qualities and should be treated, you know, with respect, regardless of who they are and what they do. I'm not a snob, is what I'm trying to say.
So. Even though you sat next to Gregory Peck and he was your client.
Oh, yeah, right. That was a great vehicle for my mother-in-law to tell her girlfriends that otherwise.
I'm telling everybody.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, for those of us who are kind of just starting out, some of our publishers, you know, we're the small publishers, Artists and Writers Network, and some of us are on, you know, small or tiny budgets. So,
right.
You know, when you're kind of starting out, does it make sense to start with, I guess you would say, easier or simpler or, you know, kind of graduating. You don't get into the cover of TV Guide, you know, the first time out the block. So how can we sort of, you know, kind of,
Well, you could have a billion-dollar budget and not get into TV Guide.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, when you're creating this focused campaign, I'm assuming that, you know, small media begets larger media. So how can we start with sort of smaller, easier, likely to actually get a hit?
Let me say,
most bang for your buck, really, and then graduate.
Well, you just have to have a PR person that's going to do the job for you. You know, when there are PR guys out there that might work on a pay-per-hit, a budget or, you know, on a percentage or whatever. You know, those are publicists that will probably make you into Chapter 11 pretty quickly. But, you know, there are all kinds of different people out there. But it's an interesting question, you know, there's no exact science to how it works. But there is one good thing and some good news for self-published authors and small press authors, and that is that they can compete pretty equally now with major publishing houses for one reason. And you know what that reason is?
The Internet?
Amazon. I mean, the Internet is
very
good.
That's the Internet.
Amazon owns the publishing industry. So now if an author gets on a show and somebody wants to buy the book, they're going to not go to a bookstore. Bookstores are a dying breed, and they're going under quickly, unfortunately, because I sort of like going into bookstores.
Me too.
The bottom line is, you know, you buy a book for a lot less money and, you know, free shipping and the whole ball of wax, and Amazon rules. So, you know, that's the name of the game. So that's a good thing, especially if you're a print-on-demand author. You know, if you get on a major show and suddenly, you know, 40,000 or 80,000 people want to buy the book, they'll print them. iUniverse or, you know, whoever will print them up very quickly, and, you know, everybody makes a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. So the real key is speaking as one who has books, on Amazon from Lightning
Absolutely.
Stores.
All I have to
do now is get on Oprah. But
right, and a lot of authors are very naive about thinking that their book has to get in bookstores. Well, the bottom line of that is, if let's say you have a distributor that gets your book into bookstores, and your book doesn't sell within 2 weeks, you know what happens to that book?
It goes back.
Yes, it does. And so, you know, that's why, you know, it's sometimes a good thing to, you know, not have a book distributor. I mean, if you're a self-published author, just, you know, realize that you're going to sell books on Amazon, and that you sell enough books, and you're going to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you're preaching to the choir here. That's actually my methodology is I have no interest in being in bookstores. I think Dan Pointer is the one who first said, bookstores are actually the worst place to sell books because of the returns mostly. It can actually bankrupt small publishing companies, so not wanting to go there,
he's right about it. He's right about that. There are a lot of people like Dan Pointer who do a lot of very good things by giving a lot of valuable information out. But the bottom line is, you know, you could read a book on how to play basketball. That's written by Kobe Bryant of the Lakers. And by reading that book, does that mean you're going to go out and be Kobe Bryant and be a great basketball player? You know, I don't think so.
You can dream.
Yeah, you can definitely dream it.
Yeah, so when you're thinking about just, you know, what is the day-to-day activity, if I'm doing, if I'm working with a publicist or I'm doing my own publicity, I mean, how much time should I be spending sending out pitches, contacting media, sending out copies? I mean, what kind of volume does it take to really get the level? I mean, you get some really serious success, obviously. So
I'm thinking you're really working it here. Well, we also target hundreds and hundreds of media people because there are so many media people throughout the country that are important. You know, I don't want to get some author on a 10-watt station in Wichita at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's going to not sell any books, you know.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of wonderful shows on Air America and NPR and, all of the major talk shows in major cities in New York, Boston, et cetera. There are a lot of very, very good shows. And they're always looking for interesting people to interview, whether they're authors or entrepreneurs or, you know, hockey players or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So you've actually mentioned some pitches that you've sent out to the media that have actually gotten picked up. Do you have any more examples? Maybe you mentioned memoir. That's one that I would think would be a bit of a toughie. Have you ever?
Oh, not at all. Memoirs are great. You
really?
Know, sure. The Stanley Alpert book that I promoted, you know, it was called The Birthday Party, A Memoir of Survival. Stanley was a top environmental attorney in New York City. One night he was going over to his AT&M bank card to draw out $1,000 in cash to have a bash at a nightclub and meet some of his buddies. And before he knew it, three guys came up on him and put a hood over his head and took his credit card and kidnapped him. And he somehow was able to talk his way out of it. And they dumped him off in Central Park, and he was able to retrace all the steps from the conversations that he heard and was able to give the FBI enough information to nail the three thugs who are now in prison for, you know, the next 25 years or so. So, you know, so I'm not saying that every memoir is going to be about a kidnapping, but there are a lot of people that have lived very interesting lives, and I think memoirs could be terrific. Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. So when you're making these pitches, I mean, it's almost some of these stories that you're telling. I mean, it's almost like a fiction story, except it's not fiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's
exactly. Could be a biography. You know, it could be a biography on Abraham Lincoln. You know, or whoever.
But I think the thing that people often struggle with, and I know I struggle with, because I just don't have like a journalist brain. I come from sort of a more how-to writing background, not a journalism background. And so for me, it's like thinking like a journalist. It's like I sort of have to get myself into a different mindset in a way to really think about what's going to appeal to the media. For example, here's an example. I have a vegan cookbook. You know, how do you play that into the media?
Well, I would turn that book down it's not a venue for me. But there are some tremendous publicists out there who specialize in those kind of books. You know, people like, you know, I've never gotten a client on the Martha Stewart Show as an example, but there are publicists out there that specialize in those kind of books. So that's why it's important to, you know, for the author to find the right publicist that, you know, if you have that kind of a book.
That's a great question. And I think that's something that people don't actually think about. And so it sounds like a lot of the publicity you've done has been for people writing about sports, for example.
No, not at all. I've only had like two or three sports books in my entire life. No, not at all. It just happens that this particular story broke in USA Today, so that's why I mentioned that. But I've had tremendous success with mystery authors, with fiction books, nonfiction books, sci-fi books. You know, parenting books, children's books. I had a New York Times children's best-selling book campaign for an author years back. So you know, there's, you know, to me, I'm very flexible, but it has to be something that, you know, that I just have a good feel about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because I know that publicists don't necessarily volunteer what they specialize in. And I mean, you actually have a wide range of,
I could do anything.
From children's books to sports is kind of wide.
I could do pretty much anything. You know, it's just that I'm really not, I wouldn't really be interested in a cookbook. And, you know, I hope anyone listening to this show who has a cookbook isn't upset with me. But, again, it's just something that I wouldn't be that enthusiastic about. You know what I mean? Or also, you know, let's say religious books. You know, I would not be interested in representing those kind of books. That doesn't mean that I don't believe in God, but it's just, you know, books that I'm not a specialist in. There are a lot of, you know, the Christian market is an example, is a huge market. But again, that's not a venue that I personally deal in. So I would tell, and I've told authors who have contacted me that, you know, that I'm not the right publicist for that. So, you know, it's apples and oranges. But I do have a very, very wide range of versatility.
That's interesting.
So
when you're working with authors, I know that like with TV and radio, a lot of times I've read that people should speak in sound bites. So when you're working with authors, how do you come up with these sound bites that actually work with the media? I've read things that say, you know, you should encapsulate your message into about 5 words. And do you have any thoughts on that? How we authors can craft these pithy little sound bites that we all get edited out on TV.
They have to try to subtly mention their book as often as they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that people remember the book. You know, because a lot of people might be driving in their car listening to a show, they don't want to suddenly pull over or start writing notes and have a head-on collision with somebody, you know, or whatever. So, but you know, you do want to make, you know, try to get, but you can't get a, no author is going to get a commercial talking about their book for, you know, for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour. It's got to be, you know, the ball basically is in the hands of the person who's the host of the show or hostess of the show. That's the person that, you know, asks the questions, and the job of the author is to answer them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, you know, they have to be pretty quick thinking and, you know, just relaxed and answer the questions. And they're not going to be asked questions that are remote. That they're not going to ask who's going to win the NCAA basketball championship. Although I could tell you Syracuse is going to be the winner, but anyway.
That's a whole different problem, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, however, like I was on a, I have books on about animals, I have pet care books, and I was on.
That's a great subject.
One of the, there's a radio show called Steve Dale's Radio Show, and it's a syndicated radio show, and I think he's
huge.
Yeah, actually.
Out of Chicago, isn't he, Steve Dale?
He's awesome. And,
this children's book that I represented, it dealt with dogs and et cetera. And I got, Steve Dale is huge. He's syndicated all over the country by the Chicago Tribune, I believe.
Yeah. Anyway, it was like you say, it was a, you know, really short little cut to me where I basically had about 10 seconds to make my little comment because I had actually commented on his blog and he liked my comment, so he invited me onto the radio show and I had 30 seconds and he said, "So what's the name of your book?" And I said, "Happy Hound, Develop a Great Relationship with Your Adopted Dog or Puppy," and it's at www.happyhoundbook.com. And
there you go.
I was like, I have to get it out.
Sure.
But yeah, you have to, I think what you're saying is really right on. You have to really be prepared to get as much information out as you can when they say, "Tell us about your book," be really prepared to do so.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, starting out with, well, my book titled, you know, Sally Goes to the Beach or whatever, deals with, you know, and then go from there. You know, sure, absolutely.
So when you're sending out the information to the media, are you sending out full media kits? I know you're sending
a
book.
That went out about 20 years ago. I mean, I can't imagine why people are telling me. Media kit's the most boring idea in the world because the media people that you're targeting want to feel that it's a fresh new book, that to have a press kit sent to them of other shows that they've done and this and that. What they want basically is a strong issues letter. They want a bio of the author, and they want the author's website. You know, all these other things are just ridiculous.
Okay,
in my opinion.
That's interesting.
This is my opinion.
I just got a media kit from someone who I actually run a pet rescue association, and for whatever reason, I now get dog and cat books. Well, also being a dog and cat book author, but
sure.
I get all these dog and cat books in the mail, and so I'm really curious about this because some of them come with media kits,
of course.
Some of them just sort of come with a letter.
Yeah,
and the other thing that's really interesting to me about this is that nobody ever follows up. So. I'm assuming that because you're getting all these placements that you must follow up on these.
I do follow up, but in all honesty, a lot of it is not bugging the media people. In other words, if they really like what they get from me, I'm going to usually hear from them. Not necessarily right away. You know, it might take a month or two. I had a book, that suddenly it actually was one of the other few sports books, but it was dealing with the Kentucky Derby, and this guy had written a book on, you know, the on different, you know, Triple Crown winners, and, you know, the Kentucky Derby, et cetera. And so I was contacted. I'd written the proposal to them, like, in January, and the Kentucky Derby is in May.
Yeah.
So I think, like, around March, I heard from the one of the editors of Parade magazine, and we ended up getting a tremendous article in Parade magazine because they wanted some information about, you know, about the Kentucky Derby. So there
you
go.
Well, that's actually an interesting point you've just made. Do you
yeah.
actually sort of have effectively a PR calendar so that you're sending out information in January so that publications like Parade, which work really far in advance, would
yeah.
then have your information? Are
yeah.
you sort of, you know, planning? That wasn't by accident, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think we had a lucky bounce, to be honest with you. You know,
okay.
it wasn't like I had a crystal ball or anything like that. No, I started the campaign in January. I wasn't waiting around, and sometimes sooner is better. But they also, the more major publications and shows, television shows, cable shows, et cetera, they do keep files of things. And, we hear from them sometimes, you know, months later. On a certain show, I heard back on a campaign that I did for Stanley Alpert a year later recently from CBS because they wanted to suddenly do a story on people that were kidnapped, and they decided to do one on Stanley. So, you know, well after the campaign even ended. So, you know, it's apples and oranges, but for the most part, they do respond if they are interested rather quickly. So
it sounds like the real trick is to just be, to bring this back around a little bit, is you start off, you do a lot of research, find out who in the media would be interested, and then really methodically go through and start
materials. Yeah, well, we have a tremendous database that we've organized. I mean, it's unbelievable. And and obviously it's mine, it's private, it's confidential,
yeah.
you know, and
so
and,
for people
you know,
who are starting out and don't have access to your database, do you have any recommendations for finding media? I mean,
they could just Google and, you know.
Google now? Because, I mean, you used to have the old, you know, the media guides, I forget what their names are, but, I mean, the huge giant books that...
there are some that, but they're pretty expensive.
Exactly. That's what
yeah,
I was wondering
yeah,
if anyone
yeah.
actually still uses them because they go out of business.
PR companies use them, of course, for updating. Like, for example, if let's say you are the producer of the Chris Matthews show, you know, the Hardball, and suddenly you've left the show and we're contacting you and you left the show 2 months ago, you know, if we're sending an email, that email will never get to anybody. It'll just bounce back. So we're constantly updating, you know, our list from the media. But again, I don't think there's any author that is going to be able to become a publicist and do a national campaign for themselves. I mean, that would take, you know, hours and days and weeks and months and years to, you know, be able to be a publicist and to be able to get all that information. But there are ways of subscribing to different news sources that do have them. You know, Bacon's has directories that, you know, they can buy.
Bacon's, that's who I was trying to remember.
Yeah. They do a good job, and you know, that's and also again, they could probably get a lot of information by Googling, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm.
So
there are a lot of sites where you can.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we're getting close to the end of our hour here.
I know.
I've
got a lunch date, and as a matter of fact, and the good news is my friend who I'm having lunch with, it's his turn to buy lunch. So
cool.
I'm getting a free lunch. But fire away if you have anything.
Well, I was just going to say if there's anything else that I haven't asked that you'd like to add as far as, you know, advice for people who are, looking into getting a publicist.
Well, a couple of things. Again, I think, you know, they should go to Google and type in book publicist. And, you know, if they want any information regarding me, they should go to my website, you know, MiltonConPR.com, because I did specifically write an article about called Advice to Authors. And I did that because I wanted to just give back, you know, something to the business. That I'm certainly not expecting to get every person who reads it as a client, but there's a lot of information on there that I think is very, very relevant. You know, things that they should know about and prepare themselves for, and know that it's not just a matter of just sitting back and saying, "Oh, everybody's going to buy my book." It's not.
Yeah, dream on.
It's not going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Unless you're Sue Grafton, you know, then, you know, who knows that she's going to sell 4 million books every time she writes a book.
What's she on, like You or something now? I mean, she's had 25 books to 23 or something to kind of establish her place. That's
exactly
the advantage of writing a series.
that's a 1 in a million lottery type kind of thing. And, you know, but the publisher knows that they're going to sell 4 million because every previous book has sold that many. So
that's
the way it works. But anyway, but it's a fabulous business. And I think people who are in the publishing business and are authors who are aspiring, I think the fun is in writing the book. And, you know, I admire people that can do that. I know I don't have the discipline to write a book. I couldn't do it. But, you know, the people that can, I think, are fantastic. And I admire them very, very much. And that's why I really like working with authors. They're terrific people.
Anyway, at this point, we're out of time, and thank you for being here. And,
oh, it's my pleasure.
And like I said, and like you said, if you want more, those of us listening later, if you want more information, you should go to www.MiltonConPR, and that's MiltonKahnPR.com. Con is with a K. So.
Well, what a nice commercial. Thank you, Susan.
Well, hey. Some people can't spell, let me tell you. I have a company called Logical Expressions. For some reason, nobody can spell it. So I feel their pain. But anyway.
you've been a wonderful interviewer. I mean, my God, you're very, very sharp.
Thank you. I hope I get on Oprah. You know? More people can find out about me.
Well, maybe Oprah's going to say one day, hope I can get on your show. There are always possibilities, and, you know, people always have chances of, you know, there's just, as I said earlier in the interview, there's no exact science to publicity and public relations. There really isn't. And that's what makes it really exciting. You know, there are the intangibles that are, you know, in the business, and being able to work it and do the best they can and make things happen. So thank you so much for sharing this, you know, your time with me, and I wish all the people listening the best of luck.
Okay, well, thanks again.
Thanks, Bob. My pleasure.
Have fun at lunch.
You could. Thank you. I'm going to order. I'm very hungry, so I'm going to have a really good sushi lunch. Anyway, take care and have a great day. Bye now.
You too.